Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, world. Welcome once again to Tuesday Talk with Key West Lou. I am your host, Louis Patron. Been another crazy week, terrible week, horrible week. I don't know how long the world can go on in this fashion. It seems like in every part of this our world, in every part of the earth, we're digging a bigger and bigger hole, and we're doing more and more bad things, crazy things, unhealthy things. Let's start first with Pakistan. Yesterday in Pakistan, the Taliban went into a school, and they killed in excess of 140 people. The numbers vary, 141, 145, of which 130 or more than 130 were children. The Taliban went into the school in Pakistan. They went classroom by classroom, shooting and killing the kids at random, went into an auditorium, did the same thing to the children in there, all the time shouting, "God is great. God is great." Now, I got to tell you something. I don't think God is great in that fashion. And I don't think they're speaking for God. I cannot believe that their good book, the Koran, warrants, justifies, permits such wanton killing on such a massive scale as we have been seeing in the last few years. This is sick. These people are sick. Now, how do we stop all this? I have absolutely no idea. We're into something there. I blame Bush, too, for this. When he went into Iraq, he disrupted the whole Middle East, and I think we're paying for it with all these things. But why do they do this? Why has the Taliban done this to their own people in Pakistan? For two reasons. They don't believe in education. They believe, ISIS, Taliban, Al-Qaeda, they believe that education westernizes, you heard me, westernizes the children so that when they become adults, they're going to think like the rest of the world and not the Middle East, okay? So they want to get rid of all schools. Remember, what, 6 months ago, a year ago, they stole in excess of 300 girls from some school in Africa. And what was the reason given? The girls were being westernized. Now, they said they were going to return them at some point. They never did. The understanding is they have now been sold into or given into slavery. My point is, this is terrible. The other reason, they want to scare people. Just like when they chop somebody's head off or cut someone's head off or hang someone on a crucifix to kill them. They're trying to scare people. They're hoping that by going in and killing all these children, besides defeating the concept of westernization, they are also scaring the parents. Yes, it's shock treatment for the parents. Everything they do intends to shock. Shock, shock, shock. They could have sent somebody into each classroom, a human bomb. They don't do that anymore as much. And the reason? Because the shock factor's gone. The impact's gone. This is the new thing now. They're going to run through the schools and kill these kids because they want the parents to join up with them and not give them any trouble. So there we are. God is great, but God is good. And I don't understand how these people can live with themselves. But then again, we don't understand them and they don't understand us. We are two different societies. We have thousands of years, hundreds of centuries of differences between us. We're not going to democratize them, and they're not going to Muslim us, okay? That's just the way it is. And so maybe we should leave them alone, and they leave us alone. We'll build a wall between us. I'm saying this in semi-jest, but I don't know the solution. But I can't believe we're ever going to change their way of thinking, and they're never going to change our way of thinking, which means conflict. I don't know. I want to talk about something that bothers me terribly. Now, that bothers me terribly, all those random killings, but something else that bothers me terribly, that happened last week, and you are aware of it. I have consistently said, and many people in this country, most of the 99%, believe that Congress is owned by the banks and Wall Street, that the banks and Wall Street exert the greatest influence over our elected leaders. No question about it. I mean, remember, they created the mortgage disaster, which started in 2008, and not one bank or banker has gone to jail yet for that. Our own Attorney General Holder said the banks were too big to jail, and then he said they're too big to prosecute. And the sadness of all this is that our president agrees with him, which I don't. All right. Now let's talk about Jamie Dimon. Well, a big man. He's well known in banking circles. He's well known generally. Jamie Dimon represents the face of banking. He is the face of Wall Street. He is the chairman, president, and CEO, all those titles, chairman, president, and CEO of J.P. Morgan Chase, one of the world's largest banks, and also, ironically, one of the major banks that created the mortgage problem in 2008, which has led to this recession where the middle class is gone, people have lost their jobs, can only come back to work in a McDonald's, not at a good-paying job, and millions of people in this country have lost or are losing their homes. Okay? They were one of the culprits, no question about it. Now, what's Jamie Dimon? He's guided his company through all this. Do you know that in 2011, he made $23 million? He got a $23 million pay package. It was the largest package ever paid to a bank or Wall Street executive in this country. In 2013, he didn't make as much. He only made $20 million, okay? J.P. Morgan Chase did a lot of bad things with regard to the mortgages. There's no question about it. But the government never chases their ass criminally. They always bring civil proceedings or governmental proceedings, not of a criminal nature. And in the end, J.P. Morgan is fined by the government an astronomical number in the billions of dollars. This has happened so many times now. They pay $60 million, $120 million, billions, $20 billion. And they pay this in settlement as a fine for the wrongdoing they've committed since 2008. And they say, mea culpa, I am sorry. But again, they're never indicted. And they're never tried, they're never convicted, they're never sent to jail, an absolute disgrace because they created the problem we have today. And from day one, Obama has sided with the banks. He doesn't say it, but everything he has done, his Treasury Department, his financial advisors, all from the banking industry, no one from the other side. Wrong. Okay. Now, what upsets me about Jamie Dimon? Here's what upsets me, and it should upset you. We know that last week the budget was voted on. We also know that that budget contained a clause, an amendment, a rider, which gave the banks back something they had lost under Dodd-Frank in 2010. In 2008, when the foreclosure started, the banks took a beating. They lost all this money, they said. Well, what they never told anybody, every dollar they lost was paid to them by the government because their accounts, their mortgages, were secured by taxpayer dollars by a federal deposit program where if the money that their money on mortgages were lost, they didn't get it back, the government would make it up. And the government paid them. To this day, I wonder why all these people keep losing their homes in court all over the United States when this happened, because if they got paid by somebody else, they're paid. People should retain their homes. Now, in this new bill, in 2010, Dodd-Frank took that ability out as regards derivative. Derivative is a form of gambling, a form of investing, a speculative form of investing, as bad as what the banks did with the mortgages, where they screwed around with them, made them into stocks, bundled them together. And Dodd-Frank said, up to Dodd-Frank, the government guaranteed any losses that the banks would incur if the derivatives went the wrong way. Their stocks went down, okay? In other words, if the derivatives went up in value, the bankers made money, the banks made money, everybody profited. If the banks go down, if the derivative trading goes down, then prior to Dodd-Frank, the banking industry could get paid, again, 100 cents on the dollar. And this was taken off the books as a law in 2010. Dodd-Frank was out there to protect us. And it said no longer is the government going to stand behind these derivatives. You lose, you take your own beating like everybody else out there in the business world, Wall Street, okay? But in the budget last week that was being proposed, and remember, there was a lot of fire back and forth. It isn't just a budget. They add tons of amendments on which have nothing to do with money, and this is one of those things, this banking resolution. It said, we're going to put back that protection to the banks that if they fail in derivative trading, they will be reimbursed 100 cents on the dollar from where? From taxpayer dollars in the United States Treasury. My God, there! I'd love to have had my action all my life guaranteed by the government this way. That still doesn't bother me because that's in the new bill. That's what the new law is as of today. But last Friday night, was it? There was trouble. We didn't know if Congress was going to vote for the bill because of this particular clause or not pass the new money bill for next year. And President Obama and Speaker Boehner, because they both wanted this passed with that clause in there, the budget bill, were calling up members of Congress and saying, hey, Joe, you got to vote with me on this one. I know your people might not like it, you don't like it, but do this for me personally. I'll remember you down the road. That's how this game is played. That's how life is. And the president's doing it, and Boehner. And that's all right for them to do it, okay? They're part of the political process, and this is how it's done. But now, and what I'm telling you is in all the newspapers, on television, the disgrace of it all is Jamie Dimon, this president, chairman, CEO of, you know, J.P. Morgan Chase. It's reported he came in and was on the phone making calls, and until he started, the tide wasn't turning to get this bill passed, okay? He's the one that put it over the top. Now, when's the last time you heard a banker doing this? More importantly, bankers probably did it in the past, not as big as Dimon may have done this time, but no one ever heard about it. The congressman was quiet. The bank representative would be quiet. This is open and above board. They want everybody to know. Jamie Dimon came in, got on the phone. You know, he crushed hands, he twisted arms, and he got enough people to vote because several articles said this bill would not have passed without Jamie Dimon's work on the telephone, okay, that night. So, and I say, he can talk to his congressman. I think he could talk to the two senators from his home state. What right does he have to talk to everybody, all right, whoever he wants in Congress, to push and pull them to go for this bill, which benefited the banking industry, benefited Wall Street? It's wrong that he has that kind of influence. It's wrong that he could do that kind of a thing. It clearly shows Congress is owned by the banking industry. It's read, it's said, it's written. I've been saying it, and we don't do anything about it. I don't know what we can do, but we've got to do something because this is supposed to be, okay, because it shows influence by the banks. It shows. When he comes out openly and does this and is proud of it, it shows the influence of the banks in this country, and I guess they want the people to know. We don't have government any longer by the people, for the people, et cetera. It's by the banks, for the banks, okay? Just a terrible situation, and somehow it's got to turn, and we can't wait down the road. It's got to be in the next couple of years. This thing has to turn. Okay, let's talk about torture. Torture's been big in the news this past week. And we hear, we are not that kind of a country. This is not America. To torture is not American. And we shouldn't have done this, and you heard this, to torture is not American. We are not that kind of people. Well, let me tell you something. A country, like a person, is what it does. And what have we been doing? for the last 10 years. We have been torturing, okay? And if we did torture, and we did, we know, for that length of time, that's who we are. Any bad acts we commit as a country, and these are bad acts, I assume, torturing people, any bad acts are a manifestation of what we are. So if we torture, we are, okay? We are. That's what we do. We torture. You know, it isn't the American way, I agree, but the American way is gone. It's gone. It's going, and soon totally gone. Another example, you know, we've changed. Things have changed. We torture. And I'm sick and tired of hearing Americans don't torture, because we did, we are. When we accept that fact, maybe more of us will be upset with the torture and try to do something. We live in a, everything's changed in the last 10, 15 years. We live in a country where a president, Bush 2, and his vice president, Cheney, lied about weapons of mass destruction in Iraq. We went to war over this. It's the reason we're in the Middle East today. We upset the Middle East apple cart when we went after Saddam Hussein, who was keeping all the other countries at bay, okay? They lied to get us into the Iraqi war. So our, argue with me if you like, you can't, our national leaders, our elected leaders, our legislative leaders, they tend to lie to us. Okay, not all the time, but enough. And lying about the war, weapons of mass destruction, wrong, terrible. But that's what we are. Our representatives lie. Okay, now let's talk about banks. I've just gotten off the bank kick here with Diamond. Banks own Congress. Elected officials do what Congress wants. Most of them. No question about it. That's what we are. We are a country owned by banks. They dominate. Okay, just like our elected officials lie, and just like we torture people. You say those three things aren't American, but we did them all, and we continue to do them. So that's what we are, what we have become. Then you have Iraq and Afghanistan, long-term wars. Thousands of our people killed, thousands of our people wounded and maimed. Thousands, if not millions, of civilians in Iraq and Afghanistan killed. You heard me. Civilians, okay? We don't kill civilians. America does not kill civilians. But we did kill civilians in these two countries. You saw all the pictures. You've read the stories. That's what we do. That's what we are. We now kill civilians in wartime. We don't care. Now we have drone planes, which makes it even worse. You see this on the news. Nobody seems to get upset. They're going out and killing civilians while they're going after a military place to bomb or something. They end up killing civilians too. But we don't kill civilians. But we have, and we continue to be. So we are. We do. It's a manifestation of what we are. We kill civilians. The people in this country, the people in this country who control right now, they control, my friends, are the politicians. Most of them keep getting reelected. They're gerrymandered in. They get rich. Half of them, half of today's Congress have become millionaires while they were congressmen. You can look it up. They became millionaires while they were congressmen. Why? They've got to be getting money from corporate America, banking America. They do their will. So this is a country of politicians. This is a country of banks and Wall Street. Banks, Wall Street. We know they control everything. They gave us 2008. They've never paid for it, really. And they never helped the people. They don't loan money to the 99% anymore. Everything's for the 1%. They keep putting this country deeper and deeper into a hole. And the third group who control this country is the military-industrial complex, the one that Eisenhower warned us about. They're thrilled that we were in Iraq for 10 years, Afghanistan for 10 years, and we continue to be in war now. They're thrilled by this. Why? They sell munitions to the United States government. They sell us the planes, the tanks, the guns, the bullets. So they're happy. everything that's happening and the people doing it don't really do shit for us. And we've got to start understanding this. Okay, now I want to stay with torture for a minute. I want to explain to you how the United States of America, and we're the United States of America, by the way, got hustled in this enhanced interrogation technique situation. The CIA, by the way, the budget of the CIA by law, the total budget is secret, and the breakdown of the CIA budget is secret. If you see it, it's a felony. You can't come up with it. It's a felony. All right, but things slip up. We know the CIA paid $81 million, $81 million of taxpayer money over 3 years to develop enhanced interrogation techniques to use on the detainees in Guantanamo and other places in the world, 100-some-odd guys. They're going to torture them. Well, we don't torture. We didn't torture really that much in the past, I don't think, from what I can see. We tortured, but not that badly. It came down from the top around 2005, 2006. You've got to torture more. You got to get more information. You really got to torture. And the soldiers down there, Army, Navy, Air Force, whoever they are, they said, we're not going to do it. And the CIA men said, we're not going to do it because we do not believe in torture. Not that torture is no good. We don't believe in it. It has never worked historically. All right? So they wouldn't do it because they didn't believe in it. So, but the pressure's coming from upstairs, where the president, vice president, the Senate, I don't know. Pressure was coming. So two guys were hired, James Mitchell and John Bruce Jensen. James Mitchell and John Bruce Jensen. And these guys were non-entities. They were nobodies. They were retired Air Force officers. They didn't fly planes. They were psychologists. They trained our airmen and our special troops like the SEALs, okay, how to handle torture if they were captured, how to handle torture. They went to work for the CIA as consultants. Within a matter of months, everybody was impressed with how intelligent they were about torturing, their concepts of how to do it and so forth, so that in 2006, the CIA contracted with these two gentlemen and their five partners who had a company in Spokane, Washington. But the principals were this Mitchell and Jessen, contracted with them for $180 million. Now, they only did it for 3 years because in 2009, Obama said no more torture, so they were out of a job. But up to that time, in 3 years, these two gentlemen had collected $81 million. They represent the American dream. They succeeded economically beyond any concept, any kind of realization, any kind of expectation. They made it big. And what did they do, okay? What did they do for $81 million? Three things. They developed a list of enhanced, as they called it, interrogation techniques. You know what they did, what's come out? All they did was copy the Nazi techniques and the communist techniques, and that's all they did. They copied the Nazi and the communist techniques, and that's what they submitted as these are the new enhanced techniques. That's number one. They conned us out of millions of dollars doing something that simply. They also called the program enhanced interrogation techniques. And guess what? That's what the Nazis called their torture program, their interrogation program. What else they had to do was they personally conducted, can you imagine these guys tortured people? They personally conducted the enhanced interrogation of some of the high-level detainees in Guantanamo and other prisons in the world. And they also evaluated detainees, these are the guys we're holding in Guantanamo, to determine their psychological state. They had been tortured to see if they could handle more enhanced interrogation. When they first came up with this copy of what the Nazis and the communists did, they had 20 ways, different ways of torturing people, different techniques. 20. The CIA Attorney General, acting Attorney General at the time, said, and I quote, that these 20 items were sadistic and terrifying. Sadistic and terrifying. They were finally cut down to 10. It's still a shame. It isn't the American way, but we're doing it, and we're doing it for quite a while now. And if we're doing it, we are people who torture. But this is the story behind it. This is the story that made two gentlemen extremely wealthy. And what did we get for it? Bad rep. And we hurt some people. All right. Now, I want to talk about the Chinese. Three things about the Chinese. They're smart business people. They have money. We owe them $1.3 trillion. Every time we need money, we call them up and they deposit it in our account. They are our creditors. God help us if they ever want to get paid back. Anyhow, Chinese investors are now in Detroit and have been in Detroit for several months. They're buying up bankrupt properties for pennies on the dollar, and properties that aren't bankrupt, they're buying up for about $10,000 a piece. They're investing big in Detroit. They're going to own Detroit, but they're also going to rebuild Detroit. That's what's coming. China is buying up Detroit and will rebuild and, in effect, own it. The Panama Canal. There's going to be another canal. Construction is supposed to start this month, the Nicaraguan Canal. It's going to go across Nicaragua. A Chinese company, all right, is being paid $50 billion, all right, to build and operate a canal for 50 years across Nicaragua, from the Caribbean to the Pacific, and with an option to have that same deal for another 50 years without paying any money, the extension. As far back in history, people have wanted to, as far back as Napoleon, people have wanted to go through Nicaragua because it was a shorter route to build a canal. Somehow it got built in Panama. I don't know why. But the problem now is the canal's still good in Panama. It's just it's too busy. It can't handle all the business. People are losing money because their boats aren't getting through. Their vessels aren't getting through fast enough. So now we need a second canal. And this won't hurt the Panama Canal. It will just help the business world. And again, that construction is to start this month. The third thing is this, and I think this is absolutely beautiful. There is a Chinese city called Luoyang, L-U-O-Y-A-N-G, Luoyang City. They need to burn, they used to burn coal to make electric power. They don't use coal anymore. They use old banknotes. Yes, worn out money that a Treasury Department, the Chinese Treasury Department, would normally take back, as the United States does, and burn up that stuff, turn it into ash, and throw it away. Well, they're taking the old banknotes, and they're using them to burn, to make power, to make electricity. They no longer use coal. And here's how it works out. Every 1.32 million kilowatts of electricity produced, that's a lot, 1.32 million kilowatts of electricity produced is equivalent to 4,000 tons. You heard me, tons, not pounds. 4,000 tons of coal being burned. Smart move. These people are smart. We ought to pay attention to this. This is the country that pollutes the most, and they've come up with an idea that isn't that bad. I don't think we got enough worn out dollars to cover the whole country. Smart, though. A burning process of paper, which is more environmentally safe than burning coal. One further thing. A study came out that said 40% of Americans are now living paycheck to paycheck. That means 2 out of 5, 40%. That's in 2014. 2012, it was only 31%. And all this time, in the stock market's gone up 45% in the last 2 years, whereas 9% of the people are living paycheck to paycheck. That's the show for this week. Thank you for joining me. I'll be back next week before Christmas to say Merry Christmas. I thank you for coming. I enjoyed chatting with you. Buy my book, The World Upside Down, for a Christmas gift. Amazon.com, BarnesandNoble.com. It makes a great stocking stuffer. If you like my show. If you don't like my show, don't buy the book. You will not enjoy it. Again, thank you for joining me. I look forward to being with you next week.